In the name of preaching, don't neglect your sadhana. Don't neglect maintaining your own spiritual life. We don't want shooting stars. Someone who is big book distribution, famous, everyone says Jai. And after a few days, they're not saying Jai, they're saying, where is he? So better to stay steady, keep strong in Krishna consciousness, go on preaching. Okay, now, here's an excerpt from another letter. One devotee, he was brahmachari, he was asking to take sannyas. He was distributing a lot of books. Prabhupada wrote about him that he is doing more than any sannyasin by personally distributing hundreds of books day after day and inspiring others to follow. So of course Prabhupada put a lot of stress on his sannyasi preachers, but he considered that this devotee who was distributing so many books was doing more than a sannyasi preacher by distributing books himself and inspiring others to follow. See how much importance Prabhupada put on this book distribution. So personally distributing books and inspiring others to follow. At one time Prabhupada told a devotee that even better service than distributing books is organizing, managing a Sankirtan party. Not everyone can do that. It's better devotees who have been doing Sankirtan for a few years, they organize the Sankirtan party when you become very experienced. But if a devotee can organize, inspire other devotees, see to their needs, so that they can go in Sankirtan, that is an excellent service. Because everything needs management. Actually, the life of a Sankirtan devotee is very simple. Simply, he requires some clothes to wear, some prasadam, some time for sadhana, and enough books. He doesn't get involved in different controversies or different things that are going on. Just his concentration is fixed. This way he remains free from all the peripheral activities which may take away from our Krishna consciousness. They're resolute in purpose because they're fixed on one point. So those who are fixed on book distribution, their consciousness is not diverted this way or that. So it's a very simple life, a very blissful life. Sankirtan devotees have lots of adventures. They meet all different kinds of, and they go through all kinds of different leelas getting them to take books. Sometimes they go to great risk. I was just reading a book about a devotee, Jewish devotee, who was distributing among Arabs Prabhupada's books. So if you know anything about modern world history, you can realize it's pretty risky. But Krishna protected him and he distributed many books. So there are so many instances like this. Sometimes, actually many times it happened, distributing books in the airport in America, because Americans, many of them, they're very heavy people. They just beat the devotee. It happened many times, devotees got beaten. One devotee, he was telling that he was distributing books, and all of a sudden a huge guy came up and just smacked him in the face and he fell on the floor. The guy didn't say anything to him, he just walked off. So the devotee just got up, picked up his book bag and went on distributing books. And when people watching saw that, they were amazed. And he sold more books. People were impressed. So the man didn't like his book distribution, but he actually helped him distribute more books and showed the glories of the Sankirtan devotee. That practically shown. This is practical demonstration. He's on this self-realized platform. He's not identifying with the body. If that happens to anyone that they get attacked like this, and actually anyone will be very upset. But he told, I thought, well, what should I do now? And he thought, well, what else is there to do? What am I going to go and do? Complain, cry, run away? I should just go and distribute books. There's so many instances. Mathajis, they're pregnant, full with child, still they're going on book distribution. And then shortly after the child's born, then they're out on book distribution with the child on their back. In Malaysia, for many years, the top book distributors have been a husband and wife team. The husband is a flight engineer, and the wife is an ex-air hostess. So they're well-known people, they have many friends, and they make friends with people very easily. So when the husband is back, when he's not out flying, that means he works about 10 or 12 days a month, and the rest of the time he's free. So when he's free, he goes with his wife and they drive around and meet people. And they go in the people's houses, they meet them, they make friends with them. And then they sell them a full set of books. And they've sold so many sets of books in the last 10 years. Because from their friends, they get the names of their friends. So when they're introduced that, I was introduced by such and such a person, and they think, oh, he's almost my friend, he's also got these books. Then they feel some relationship. Then they think, and they preach them, and they feel, yes, I should also take these books. So, all over the world, in different ways, the book distribution is going on. In India, we do so many books. We drive from town to town, and we open up our bus, and we make a shop showing all the books, and then people come and they buy them. We preach to them, and they buy. They come and look, we preach to them, and we sell them books. In Gujarat, we have a very nice, in one state in India, we have a very nice program. Devotees, they go in the village, either early in the morning or in the evening when the people are not in the fields, when they're in their homes. And they go all around the village chanting Hare Krishna. And people are quite surprised because this party, they're mostly Western devotees. Most of them are big, tall guys. They're from, mostly from Yugoslavia. They seem to have a lot of big people down there. I heard there's a lot of basketball players coming to America from Yugoslavia now. So these people, they never saw any Western people, let alone 2-meter-high Western people, with tilak and dhotis and shaved head chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the people, they're amazed and they're very happy. They like it. This morning I was chanting my japa, this lady was taking out her dog for a walk. She didn't like my chanting Hare Krishna. I don't know what she said, but it wasn't favorable, that's for sure. So generally in India, we find people are quite favorable. So after going all around the village, doing Harinam, then we go house to house, go in people's houses and say, speak to them a little bit. Then we tell, now we'd like you to give a donation and we're going to give you some books. So we tell them to give a donation about 10 times more than they thought they would give. And then when they find, then they say, no, I'll give a little less, and then we kind of bargain with them, because they know I have to give some donation. And depending on how much they give, we give them Prabhupada's books. This way he did many, many sets of books. And people are more interested, we spend a little time with them, we show them how to chant japa. Many times we take out all the pictures of their bogus gurus and put in a picture of Prabhupada. And many people, they say that they'd like to come and join our Sankirtan party. Because they're working in the fields, but for a few months a year they're free when they're not doing any cultivation. Actually, this happened. We went to one big festival. They're opening a temple, and there were several 100,000 people from all over Gujarat came. So all the people there, they asked, you do your kirtan. They know. ISKCON means kirtan, ecstatic chanting and dancing. And our devotees said, yeah, well, we can do it for a few minutes, but we have to distribute books. So people from the villages we'd been to, they knew us. They said, no, you give us the books. You chant, we'll distribute the books for you. So they did. So like this, all over the world, scope is there for distributing books, preaching, spreading Krishna consciousness. Maybe a little different according to the local culture. But you see, even in the most unlikely places, actually the whole world is an unlikely place. America is also an unlikely place. Russia is also an unlikely place. Now we take it for granted there are devotees all over the world. Maybe at Mayapur festival we see, where are you from, Guru? Oh, I'm from Russia. Oh, that's nice. Where are you from? I'm from Japan. Oh, that's nice. But 30 years ago, if you were told someone living in Vrindavan or someone from India, that there would be devotees from Russia, Japan, China, America, chanting Hare Krishna, quoting Bhagavad Gita, following these principles, they wouldn't believe you. Now we take it for granted. But it's a miracle. It's amazing. Even a few years ago, we couldn't imagine that we could have such a meeting like this. I first came to Russia in 1986, and we were doing preaching programs. But we were always aware that any moment the KGB might come and ask us to stop the program. And maybe not just ask us to stop the program also. But now, you see, all over CIS, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, every town and village, it's going on. So the potential for spreading Krishna consciousness, we don't know. We never imagined that there could be such widespread Krishna consciousness in these countries. We always used to show maps of the world with ISKCON centers and a big vacuum from Vladivostok to Berlin. big empty space. We always used to look and see, when will we have some centers there? Maybe not possible. Probably in our lifetime not possible. Maybe there has to be some huge nuclear war, and when there's no one left, then maybe out of the 5 or 6 people who are left, one or two of them can start it. No, seriously, we couldn't imagine. How is it possible that Krishna consciousness is going... We know it's spreading underground, but very limited. Now it's overground, and this is very pleasing to the devotees all over the world. How people in these countries have taken up Krishna consciousness with such enthusiasm. So maintain the enthusiasm. We're also... I'm coming here, and you're very enthusiastically receiving me. I'm supposed to come and give you some enthusiasm, but I'm also getting enthusiasm from you. I think I'm getting more from you than you're getting from me. Because it's a wonderful thing to see how people in this land are taking up Krishna consciousness, where previously there was no such opportunity. People are very seriously dedicating themselves to understand Krishna and to spread this movement, to take up this culture. So this is all the devotees all over the world are very happy to see this. I think if this continues with so many people in Russia taking up Krishna consciousness, then Russia will become the Krishna conscious capital of the world. Our movement goes through different phases. In the beginning, the thrust of the movement was mostly coming from America. Now, then after that, Europe, Australia were very prominent. Now our movement is going on steadily in many places throughout the world. Preaching in India has developed a lot, but definitely in the last few years, the major areas of expansion of our movement have been in the ex-communist world. Definitely in the last few years, the major areas of expansion of our movement have been in the ex-communist world. So now we have somewhat prominent position. You have to keep it up. Don't be a shooting star. You have Russia is usually among the top one or two countries. Usually India beats Russia. Russia is usually number two. Usually India beats Russia. So you have to stay up there. You try and be number one. Try and defeat us. I don't think you can. But at least you keep number two. Don't become number 10 or less. All right, let's read another Prabhupada letter. The more we distribute books and literature, the more they understand our mission. They become advanced on the path of liberation from all problems of life. My thanks to all of you. That's a fact. I was discussing that the other day. That by distributing these books, it creates an auspicious atmosphere in society. The whole world is being purified by this book distribution. And the culture is changing. Just like, for instance, I remember when I was a kid at school, I was becoming interested in vegetarianism, reincarnation. And almost all my friends thought I was completely crazy. Because only crazy people were interested in vegetarianism and reincarnation. But now you'll find these are completely accepted. That vegetarianism is just practically part of life in England now. I think maybe it's like 40% of the young intellectuals there, young, more educated people, they're all vegetarian. And reincarnation is a completely accepted concept. People know about it, and many people accept it, or at least their minds are open to it. Last year, someone showed me there was an article in the Daily Telegraph, which is the most prominent conservative newspaper in England. So they had a big article on the changing eating habits of British people. They said the traditional Englishman likes his... And they gave the name of different meat preparations. So this British culture, which has been going on for hundreds of years, is changing. They noted that there is a vegetarian revolution going on. Now, of course, our goal of life is not simply to make people vegetarians. But these are signs that society is being significantly influenced in the right direction by the auspicious atmosphere created by these books. So it may be that not many people will take up Krishna consciousness very seriously, but at least if a widespread, a lot of people, they have some idea of this philosophy, they have some appreciation of Krishna consciousness, at least they can start to make progress. Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. If anyone takes it up seriously, then in this very life, they can become free from the clutches of birth and death and go back to God. But even if someone just takes one book, or hears the chanting of Hare Krishna, or takes prasad, somehow or other, if they come in contact with Krishna consciousness, they will be benefited. And next life, they can again get the chance and they can go on further. So this Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. Let us dedicate our lives to bringing it to others. That will make us happy and that will make others happy also. And that will of course make our spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada happy. And if the spiritual master is happy, then Krishna is happy. So this is the all happiness movement. Anandam buddhi varatanam. Ever-increasing transcendental bliss. And sometimes there may be some things like there's some little disturbance in the temple. That's ephemeral. It won't last. These things come and go. But the kirtan goes on. The sankirtan goes on. Actually, Prabhupada, even big problems came. He would be told, oh, such and such problem. Many times Prabhupada would listen and then he'd just start preaching Krishna consciousness as usual. All problems can be washed away by preaching. Of course, if there were philosophical deviations, this kind of problem Prabhupada took very, very seriously. And of course, management problems, it wasn't that he didn't take them seriously. But you could say that he more or less took it for granted that he knew there would be this kind of difficulty. Because when you bring many people together from all different kinds of backgrounds, they're not always going to agree with each other on everything. And especially in Kali Yuga, the fighting tendency is very strong. And some devotees will fall down. That's a risk. You bring people in, even they're initiated, and some will fall down. Sometimes even leaders have difficulties and fall away, which causes great disturbance. But Prabhupada, he wasn't so much disturbed by all these things. In one sense, of course, he was, because the headache came to him. But in another sense, it's like practically expected if you're going to preach, declare war on materialistic life. If you go to fight a war, there'll be some casualty. Even if a devotee has difficulty and goes away, if he sincerely tried to serve Krishna, that's to his eternal benefit. So, we should remain like this, transcendental. That we should try our best in all our endeavors for Krishna. In preaching, in management, whatever we do. But know that ultimately the result is in Krishna's hands. We are not the controllers. So let me do my best to serve Krishna, but not be attached to the result. And even if it seems things are not going very nicely as I might have wanted them to do, we can always chant Hare Krishna. Whatever happens, whatever anyone may say or do, we can always get our kartals and madanga and chant Hare Krishna and dance. He's offering obeisances to the door. She's offering the Sri Dor, Sri Jaya. Teach her to offer obeisances. Oh, is it? Well, anyway, teach. Jai Shakal Bipod Bhakti Vinod Bolen Jakanonan Gai Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolo Reshavad. All Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, all problems, all difficulties, they all go away when we chant the names of Krishna. Jeev Krishna Das Ebishas Korale Ta Ordukana. You have problems, Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks? Then just understand, you're not this body, you're eternal spirit soul. You are the eternal servant of Krishna, who is the best friend of all living beings. Suharidam Sarvabhutanam. So just understand this one point, that we are eternal servants of Krishna and all your problems will go away. And then what else is there to do? Radha Krishna Bolvo Bolo Reshava. Chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Prabhupada's instruction. Being unhappy is not allowed in this movement. It's against the rules. So no one's allowed to be unhappy. Everyone has to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Alright? Are you prepared to follow the rules?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, our devotees, they always used to distribute books in the airport, and the airport authorities, they always wanted to stop them. So our devotees, they used to dress in kami clothes and merge with all, there's so many people, and they're not very easy to catch. So the airport authorities, they trained up their staff how to recognize a Hare Krishna devotee, catch him and throw him out.